Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Bill Moss and Dr. Dave Stoop. Your phone calls, 1-800-229-3000. Glad you called us today here on New Life.
I really enjoy your show.
Hi, you guys are the best.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
What a combination of wisdom and fun.
When we finally did it, and he walked out into the living room and said, "Well, I know it's not my birthday," and sat down on the couch.
Oh, I thought you said he had died. He divorced 10 years ago.
Dave, it was Dave's fault. Another name for firstborn is crash test dummy. And, you know, because we're learning a lot of stuff as parents.
There's a horse and there's a cart.
This is not a three-year-old problem with your husband. This could have started in junior high school. We don't know.
See, right now we like each other, but we're not really being the kind of person that we would want to be to make it work. You follow me?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. Joining me today, Dr. Dave Stoop. Hi, Dave.
How you doing?
Dave and I are the co-editors of the Life Recovery Bible. We're working on the Life Recovery book right now. If you have a story about your own recovery, we'd love to consider it to go into that book. And then one of our favorite people, Bill Moss, is here with us today. Hey, Bill.
How are you, Steve?
I'm doing all right. Now, Bill's claim to fame with us is that he's one of the few people we know who's been sober about 6 years and started that journey of sobriety when he was 85. Now, that's a pretty cool thing. He's a great, great man. He's a wise man, and he's written this wonderful piece, Finding Inner Peace During Troubled Times. It's a great little book, and you can get that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. But today, we're going to try something different, and it's called Focus Friday. And we want this Friday, this focus, to be about addiction. Now, we're probably going to end up talking about a few other things, but we're going to try to bring them all right back to addiction, if at all possible. But to start us off, I want to read the 11th step here out of the 12 steps. And it's this. It says, "We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out." That's a pretty powerful step there.
Well, it is a very, very powerful step, and particularly, Steve, when you couple it with the third step, where you make a decision to turn your will and your life over to the care of God.
Right.
And once you, an alcoholic, which I am, turns your will and your life over to the care of God, It gives you the impetus and the desire, or God does in your life, to branch out and to learn more about how you can help other people, other alcoholics. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that you can do it is to encourage people to think in terms of the 11th step, where you seek to be able to help through meditation, prayer and meditation. And one of the things that is so helpful to alcoholics is that if we stop and think, and that's what meditation does for us.
Right.
And when you couple that with prayer and then pray for the knowledge of how to help in helping other people, and the courage to carry that out.
Mm-hmm.
That is the essence of the healing. Let me just add this one thing. One of the smartest guys that I know says that the 12 steps is a prescription for mental health.
That's right.
Well,
on.
Mm-hmm. I believe that's true. When we come back, I want to read to you a passage. You could say David was kind of working the 11th step in this passage from 2 Samuel. Dave, you say that...
Well, I've got a definition from the Bible of alcoholism.
All right, so we'll do all of that. And if you'd like to join us on the phone, it's 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. We'll take a break and we'll come back right after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Talking about the 11th step here, before we go to the phone calls, I'll just read you some work David was doing. Right out of 2 Samuel 22, it says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my Savior. My God is my rock, in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. I called upon the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from my enemies. The waves of death overwhelmed me. Floods of destruction swept over me. The grave wrapped its ropes around me. Death laid a trap in my path. But in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I cried to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry reached his ears. He is a shield for all who look to him for protection. For who is God except the Lord? Who but our God is a solid rock? God is my strong fortress, and he makes my way perfect." So, you know, there are all sorts of passages where, you know, David is improving on and focusing on his conscious contact with God.
Oh, my. The Psalms are full of that.
Yeah.
But there's a description of the alcoholic in the Bible, and I don't know that very many people are aware of it. It's in Proverbs 23.
Proverbs 23.
And it begins in verse 29. He says, "Who has anguish? Who has sorrow? Who is always fighting? Who is always complaining? Who has unnecessary bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes?" Sounds like what the wife describing her alcoholic husband.
Mm-hmm.
"It is the one who spends long hours in the taverns trying out new drinks. You know, don't let the sparkle and smooth taste of wine deceive you, for in the end it bites like a poisoned serpent. It stings like a viper." Now here's the description. You will see hallucinations.
Mm-hmm.
You will say crazy things. You will stagger like a sailor tossed at sea, clinging to a swaying mast. And you will say, "They hit me, but I didn't feel it."
Mm-hmm.
That analgesic, where you just don't feel things.
Yeah.
You know? "I didn't even know it when they beat me up." And then here's the kicker. "When will I wake up so I can have another drink?" Is that
a pretty good description? Yeah.
Do you know that was in there?
No, I didn't. I didn't know that was in there. But I'm going to read it again and again and again.
23rd Psalm.
Chapter 23. No, Proverbs 23. Beginning at verse 29. Yeah. I have a good friend who's a medical doctor, addictionologist, and he pointed that out to me, and I've never forgotten it.
Yeah, I've read it several times, and it's a fascinating description. Now, let's go to our phones here, and let's go over to, how about Bob? Let's talk to Bob. Bob's calling us from Omaha, Nebraska. He's on line 5, I believe it is. Hello, Bob. Yeah. Welcome to New Life.
Thank you.
Certainly.
Mr. Moss, I have a somewhat simple question in that I understand the 12 steps, and they're probably all of equal importance, but is there really one of the 12 that you have to totally embrace, understand, and 100% accept and deal with in order to encourage greater success with the remaining 11 steps? Is there one definitely stronger, more important than the remaining 11?
Well, I think the first step, when we admit that we're powerless over alcohol and our life has become unmanageable. If we, in facing our problem, realize that we are completely powerless over alcohol, and that and through the things that we have done in our life and to other people and with other people, people we've hurt, and our in our business and things, that our life has become unmanageable, that's the first step, and it's the most important step. And without taking that step, the effectiveness of the next 11 steps would be questionable.
Yeah. Well, I would vote for step 3, and that would be making that decision to finally turn our lives over to God. Because I think that there are a lot of alcoholics that mess around in step 1 and 2. You know, they something happens and they do admit that, you know, their life is unmanageable, or something happens and they do realize God could really help me here. But man, when they hit that third step and they finally decide to turn things over to God, to totally surrender, to me, that's a big deal. But certainly, if you don't ever hit the first step, you're not going to hit the third step.
Yeah, but you said that same thing. The whole thing boils down to your will, not mine.
Yeah.
God's will, not mine.
That's right.
And that's really the essence of the third step, is that, you know, I turn my will over to God and my life. But
yeah. But I think the concept, if you said, is there a concept that would be more important than any other concept, probably the concept of surrender.
Yeah.
Which really the first three steps are about surrender. Yeah.
But if you don't get that first step right, you won't get the rest of them right.
I think that you're right, Steve, and that the third step is the key step. But you have to get to the third step.
You have to get
step.
There.
You have to get to the third step. And the first and second step take you there.
What do you think about that, Bob?
I would totally agree. Listening to you two discuss this, it seems to me that if I accept and admit that I'm an alcoholic and my life is, I'm powerless over alcohol, my life has become unmanageable, unless I am willing to embrace and take the action of the third step, turning my will over to the power of God, I really haven't achieved a whole lot in that first step, other than acknowledging I have a problem. And that's fine to say you have a problem, but Bob, what are you going to do about that problem?
Well, you have realization in that first step that it's it's not going to get better. And you have realization in that second step that somebody could help you make it better. But then there's an action step of turning.
Yeah.
And that turning it over is a huge, huge action step. And it's kind of the completion of the first three and the beginning of the rest of the 12 is when we finally take that action step. But, you know, I think a lot of people, they're not really familiar with the 12 steps, and they don't realize that they're just good, solid principles for living. That's all they are. There's a new word that I've come across in the past couple of years that I use, and I say if a person isn't willing to totally surrender their life to God, how about just complying with what God says is the right thing to do? Try compliance. If you're not going to try surrender, it'll save you some time, because you'll verify that God knows what he's talking about in his directives. Well, Bob, I appreciate you calling us. Let me send you a copy of our tip sheet, our 10 tips, or actually 12 steps with scripture attached to them, and I hope that will be helpful to you. And God bless you. Thanks for calling us today.
Thank you very much, and I look forward to receiving that.
All right. God bless you there. And I will also send him Walking Into Walls, because the first wall is a reason that people don't take the first step, and that is stubborn resistance. They are stubborn, and they resist everything that could be helpful to them. How about talking with Emily here from Newark, Delaware? She listens on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hello, Emily. Welcome to Focus Friday on Addiction. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, thanks. And I can't believe I called on a day of addiction, because that's exactly what I have a question for
Okay.
for you. My life is total insanity now, and I don't know what's going on with my marriage. I need your guidance.
Okay.
I've been married 19 years, and when I met my husband, he was in recovery.
Yeah.
And went to meetings, blah, 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 and then stopped. And, well, I just kind of, I put up with it, and I just thought, well, you know, anyway. 3 years ago, I found out that he is a cross-dresser.
Mm-hmm.
And about 3 weeks ago, I found out that we are in about $100,000 in credit card debt.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So something's not right in River City.
Yeah, boy, right. That
and
word.
And I don't want to put a Band-Aid on this problem.
Well, the word.
I want to get to the core of it.
Sure. The word unmanageable certainly describes his life right now.
Yeah.
And
right.
yours,
right.
too. Yeah,
yeah, and he's drugged you into that life. Well, I know you can't go back and redo this, but I'm just going to say this for the benefit of other people. If you marry somebody that's in recovery and all of a sudden they decide not to go to a meeting that week or that night, that's when you say, whoa, wait a second. I didn't marry you to not go to meetings. I married you thinking you would always go to meetings. If you're not willing to go to meetings, we have a big problem, and we have to deal with that problem right now versus just let it go. That's the way it needs to be dealt with. But what do we say to her now?
Well, I'm curious, Emily, have you gone to Al-Anon during this time at all?
No, well, I actually am a recovering alcoholic also.
Oh, okay.
I did a lot of therapy, private therapy and group therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really go to too many AA meetings, but I'm in a women's Bible study and.
Well, I think Dave's on the right track here. I think
part of why I tell people in your position to go to Al-Anon is as much for the other person as it is for you. It's a statement that says, "I'm not going to deal with this the way I typically have dealt with it. I'm going to deal with it differently." And I'm going to get help. I'm going to change. And that's why I always say, you know, announce the fact that you're going to go to meetings. And problem is, if you're a recovering alcoholic, you go to the Al-Anon meeting, you're going to feel sorry for all the people they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But
well,
that's all right.
That, I did start into Celebrate Recovery.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know here in Laguna, I've been to many Al-Anon meetings, and they're made up of recovering alcoholics who have decided that there was some additional work from a different angle that they needed to do, and because they had somebody in their life who was struggling. And I think that there is an Al-Anon meeting somewhere for every person that's attached to an alcoholic. And if you go to one and you don't like the experience, then you need to try
go
two,
another
three,
one, yeah.
or four.
Now, Bill, you said that there was a that the principles of the 12 steps are basically mental health.
That's correct.
And
I think there's a question for this lady. Are you sober at the moment?
Yes.
And how long have you been sober?
25 years.
Oh, so you've
good
been
for
you. Sober the whole 25 years. And how long has it been since your husband was sober?
Approximately the same amount of time.
So when did he start drinking?
He doesn't drink. I would consider him a dry drunk. He
mm-hmm.
has not drank.
Okay. Okay.
Go ahead.
Is he willing to do anything?
Well, as far as the finances are concerned, we did go to counseling just once. We went to counseling for the cross-dressing, and I was going to counseling myself, and then we went to marriage counseling. And then when I found out about this money situation, I said, well, let's do the Dave Ramsey thing, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then he's like, hey, if you think you're going to run my business, you're totally mistaken.
Wow.
So we did go one time to, and she's like, well, are you willing to the marriage counselor, are you willing to, cut up your credit cards? He goes, oh, we can't do that. And then we kind of both left in frustration. And then actually that's when I decided to call you guys.
Okay. Well, wow. I think you got to try to encourage the two of you doing something together to bring some unity. And I think the only way that occurs is if you're willing to accept some responsibility for kind of the mess that both of you are in. Well, not that it's your fault,
no,
but...
You used the term a dry drunk, so you're dealing with somebody who is not in recovery, and his
right.
life is out of control. And
right.
so the same principles would apply. You've got to find a way to get your life back into control and start working on the steps together. But Steve's right. You got to get into some help together because that's not going to happen separately.
Yeah.
So I think, do you think counseling, marriage counseling, or
yeah.
what kind of?
Well, I think that would be good for you if he's not willing to go to meetings. We'll be back after this.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back. It's interesting.
Let me just reiterate to Emily the fact that you know, the dry drunk element says that Al-Anon is going to be an important part of what she does,
mm-hmm.
as well as doing some couples counseling.
Right.
I'd say both things are essential. And letting him know that you're going to Al-Anon because you're not going to put up with this anymore.
Right. Yeah. So she's going to have to do a lot of stuff
yeah.
to get his attention and try to bring them back together. Let me send you Walking Into Walls. He's got that old stubborn resistance there, and maybe it will help you to deal with that. Let's go to Jennifer, who listens to us on WQME from Muncie, Indiana. Hello, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. I have issues with anger, and basically my story is my husband is a recovering porn addict. 2 years ago, I said it's either go to your Every Man's Battle weekend or we're done, and he has been sober of that for that length of time.
Okay.
But through our marriage counseling and my personal counseling, I've just gotten to that point where I'm just angry. I'm mad
yeah.
at all the hurt he's caused for me and our children over the years, and I can't get past my anger.
Yeah.
So what do I do? I heard on Friday you told the lady, okay, you have to get angry. That's the next step she needed in her grieving process. And her husband, I'm like, okay, I'm there. I need to get out of it.
Yeah.
So what do I do?
Yeah. Okay, well.
Just stop it.
Yeah.
Just stop it.
Exactly. Well, I've read that. It's not
right.
going anywhere. I've read
right.
Shipping Room's book. I've read
yeah.
your stuff. I've done the Every Woman's a thing that goes with every man's battle.
Yeah.
I can't make that step, and I don't know what is blocking it.
Okay. What would you say would be the biggest thing that you're holding on to as a source of resentment? What would be the biggest hurtful thing that is in the past of your husband?
I think it comes down to fear that it's going to happen again.
Okay.
And, you know, it happens secretly. That's a secret addiction. And you don't know about it until you catch him.
Right.
And it happened for over a decade, and I would find him, and he'd, you know, do something to placate me and, you know, lie about it for how many years until I'd find him again.
Right.
And so, yeah, I really believe that this time he's doing stuff the right way, but he's an addict.
But see,
that he can fail, and that there's that hardcore fear that it's going to happen again, and if it happens again, I don't know that I can take it.
Yeah.
Does he know that, Jennifer? Have you told him that? Okay.
And he just looks at me like, okay.
What have you done with the sadness over what's been lost over the years?
Cry.
Okay.
Get mad. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Then it seems like the piece that's missing now for you is forgiveness.
Yeah, how do I do that? I mean, I've said it, I've prayed it, but I can't.
Well, it's more of a process when it's something this serious over a period of time.
Yeah.
I think you know
what I would do is I would put all your anger in a letter to him that you don't even show him. You just put it in a letter to him, get it out on paper. Because there's something about writing that the mind releases it when I write it down, because it's like, okay, it's there now. I don't have to keep remembering it. And then as you finish the letter, then you begin to focus on Christ's forgiveness of you. Ephesians 4:32 says, forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven you.
Mm-hmm.
God took his time to forgive us. He took thousands and thousands of years from the garden to the cross. He was in no hurry. You've had 2 years now, and that's good. And the anger and the sadness are part of what the forgiving process is about. But now then, what I would do with that letter is I would finish it when you feel like it's really kind of all out on the paper, and I'd say, because God in Christ has forgiven me, I unconditionally forgive you. And write it in there and sign your name and let it sit there for a while. And then you might have a little conversation with him where you don't go over everything, but you just talk about the process you've been in and the forgiveness and make it real. And have a little ceremony. Where you burn the letter I think that's a part of what would be helpful. Yeah. You need to read the Forgiving the Unforgivable book.
Yeah, I'll send you that book. Also, there are meetings called Sexanon meetings.
Yeah.
It's just like Al-Anon. Because I think you need some girlfriends for a lot of different reasons, but my sense is that you don't have people that you can spew this out to and get beyond it. Is that true or not?
Well, I mean, I have my counselor, but you don't talk about this at church.
Right.
You know,
no. Right.
You don't go to church and go, hey, this is what
right.
we're dealing with, because this is the unspoken.
Right. So that's why I'm saying
maybe. That's what makes it harder, I think.
Yeah.
But you find a group of women that you can do that
where
with.
Where it's safe and other people have been through the exact same thing. Very, very tough reality that you're dealing with, and to try to deal with it alone in isolation, that would be the mistake.
Okay.
It hasn't worked so far, has it?
No.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I think the disappointment that he has shown you and the fear that it'll happen again often is compounded by the things that your father did or didn't do to you. And that makes it doubly difficult. Do you understand what I'm saying there?
Yeah.
Was your father, was he always there for you? Was he, what
oh,
was?
Yeah.
He was.
He was good.
Yeah, and so this is doubly disappointing to you because you wanted somebody that'd be there, and you were entitled to that. He's not there.
There's another point to this. When we come back from the break, I want to tell you about Jennifer, that and why it's important that you do the forgiving work for your own protection for the future.
Yeah. All right. We'll talk about that right after this. You're listening to New Life Live. We'll be back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We are back. Dave had a comment, and then Bill has a comment.
Hey, Jennifer, one of the things that I want you to go through that, finish the forgiving process, is that when you're operating out of fear, a lot of times the fear almost creates the problem that you're afraid of, and I want you to be able to release it, because if you release it, then you're not operating out of fear, and if you said it's a secret addiction. But you will know if he goes back to it before it hardly happens, because you will see a change in him. You will be so free yourself that you will see something different in him that says, uh-oh, red flag, relapse. And, you know, then you deal with that. But if you live in fear of it, what I'm afraid of is oftentimes fear creates what we're afraid of.
Yeah.
And, you know, Job says, you know, the thing I feared the most has come upon me. And that's kind of the dynamic of it. So I want you to get out of that. And then Bill has another suggestion.
Well, I think that you should consider a ladies group, an all-women's group in Al-Anon.
Okay.
And usually they're pretty small, and you can share with other women your problems, and it's very, very, very helpful.
Okay, yeah, that would be good. Well, Jennifer, I'm so sorry for what you're having to go through, but it isn't it isn't bizarre that he would clean up his act and you would get more angry.
Yeah, because it feels safe.
It happens all the time. And here you are. You find out all the stuff that he's been involved with and the deception. Now you need to forgive him, and you've got this fear of what's the future going to hold. But, you know, at least you know the reality of your life. You're not being lied to anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you can deal with that. So I hope something we've said is helpful to you, and I'll send you Forgiving the Unforgivable. So hold on, let us get your address for that. You know, if you are struggling with addiction or you have been in recovery for a long time, Dave and I edited a life recovery Bible that so many people have said, wow, this really helps me integrate these 12 steps with Scripture in a way that I didn't know that I could. And you can order that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or by going to newlife.com. All right, let's go to Estelle in Palm Springs, California. And she listens on KNLB. B. Hello, Estelle. Welcome.
Good morning. And I must say right off, I did not like one bit that quote from the Bible about drunken men, but then it wasn't about drunken women, so I'm clear.
Okay.
I have a question for William Moss.
Okay.
I am a sober woman. Why is it necessary, and I go to meetings, but why is it necessary for me to do the steps?
Why is it necessary for you to do the steps?
Yes.
Well, I think if you take the steps one at a time, it keeps you focused on a day at a time. And that's the whole secret of AA recovery, is taking it one day at a time. So if you take the steps one at a time, it keeps you focused on not only staying sober, but it keeps you focused on the growth that you will get from staying in AA and doing all of the 12 steps honestly, willingly, and with an open mind.
And Estelle, wow. What else are you going to do, you know?
What else am I going to do?
Yeah, I mean, why not do the steps? Because it's hard to spend any better time than looking at some amazing principles for mental health and
it's free therapy.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
But I think the concept Bill's talking about here is you take the steps one at a time, and it really does help you live your life a day at a time without resentment and bitterness. And you're cleaning stuff up through the 12 steps. You're cleaning stuff up between you and God, and you clean stuff up between you and yourself, really, and you clean stuff up between you and other people so that you can then have what I call the missional life. You're going out and helping other people rather than waiting to be helped. Bill, you had another thought there?
Yes. I'm in a step group with a group of men, one of whom has been in the program for 50 years, another for 34.
Wow. Hmm.
And every time we go through the steps, more will be revealed. And each time they do the steps, they get something completely new out of them. I'm always amazed to hear these guys, and particularly with resentments, they come boiling up and boiling up and boiling up. So I would suggest, Estelle, that you get into a good step group and do the steps over and over again.
Well, I must say, between the two of you talking, in this short period of time, I am convinced.
Great,
Estelle. And thank you for that suggestion, Mr. Moss, that I get into a step meeting with other women. I am going to do that.
And
you've made my day. You've made my day. Now I understand. I understand why it's important.
Let me
You're a wise woman,
yeah.
Estelle.
Let me send you a Life Recovery Bible. And Life Recovery Bible will help you work the steps. And as you're working through the steps, there are devotionals that accompany each step. We're glad that you called, and so you helped somebody today, Bill. You helped somebody see the light. Yeah.
More than one.
Definitely. Hey, here's a note.
You know, before you do that note, we were talking between the programs that Bill said there was one out of 12 people.
Yeah, statistically, there's one person out of 12 that has a problem with alcohol and addiction. But the figures that were...
That I added a figure to it, that it was one out of three people that are affected by someone in their life who has an addiction.
Yeah.
So that means one out of every three listeners have somebody in their life that's struggling with some kind of an addiction.
If I could mention this, I seldom go out for dinner, even if there's just four people. And when I mention that I'm an alcoholic, somebody inevitably says, well, my cousin is an alcoholic,
sure,
or my mother was an alcoholic. And it just opens, people open up and start talking about it openly. And it's very, very beneficial for people to be able to identify with alcoholics so that it helps them in their relationship with their families and friends.
You know, it's interesting to me, with so much alcoholism, so much treatment, people like Betty Ford that have done so much, we still have people with a view that alcoholism is not something that you can have and be a respectable person. It's still the image of the Skid Row drunk or somebody other than in my family, but it can be anybody. It can be a guy that walked on the moon, Buzz Aldrin. You name it. It can be someone.
There's no bars up there, Steve.
No, they're not.
He must have spiked the water, though, on the spaceship.
The reason I thought of that is I was listening to Brian Regan, this comedian, talk about that he wishes he was one of the guys that had walked on the moon, because no one could trump that at a party. When somebody's talking about what a big shot they are, you could just sneak in there. And by the way, when I was walking on the moon, I thought that was really good. All right. Why don't we talk with Iris here from Boston, Massachusetts. WEZ. E is the station, and Iris is on line 4. Hello, Iris. Welcome to New Life.
Hi, I made it. Wow.
Yes, you did.
Praise the Lord.
Well, we're glad that you made it. What's going on?
Well, my question to you is, husband drinks every weekend and around the week, and when he does that, it just brings back the times where there was domestic violence in our relationship. And I've asked him to stop.
Yeah.
And, well, he says he has it under control. There is no more domestic violence, but it's just every time I see the alcohol, it brings those memories back to me. So I'm wondering, should I just go find something so that I can find healing and let him just continue to do that? He's not a Christian. Or should he be as responsible to, you know, eliminate the alcohol altogether?
Okay. What do you think, Bill?
Oh, I think he ought to find a way to eliminate the alcohol altogether.
Definitely.
If he can't do it by himself, then I think he should find some program like you all outline in your Recovery Bible, or AA, or most people need some help to quit drinking.
And, you know, you might want to say to him, hey, I've been thinking about this, and you say you've got it under control, but having drinking under control really isn't the point of life. There's so much more than just having something under control. There's this other life that I think you could start to live if you entered into recovery. And maybe he would...
Well, and there's a way to get him to that point. Yeah. And we can talk about
that
when we come
back.
Dave
will tell you the foolproof way to get him to that point right after this.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn, we're talking with Iris. Dave has a way that maybe she could...
Hey, Iris, what I always tell people in your position is that you go to a speaker meeting, and what I would do is I would call the hospitals around your area that treat alcoholism. You know, when a hospital treats alcoholism, they usually have a first-class speaker meeting because that's kind of how they promote their program. And then I would say to your husband, you know, I want you to go with me to this speaker meeting. And you'll like a speaker meeting because you don't have to say anything. Nobody says, hi, I'm Joe, I'm an alcoholic, you know. Everybody just kind of comes in, sits down, shuts their mouth, listens, gets up and leaves. And then as you leave, go out and have coffee together and talk about what you heard. If you do that for 6-8 weeks, it will open up so much conversation between you to where he begins to understand what it is to be a controlled alcoholic, you know, that controls it but has to fight it inside, and begins to hear your heart because you'll have a shared experience about the issue. And I have found, I had one man, he refused to admit to his wife that he had a problem. I got him to go to a speaker meeting. He went to 4 meetings, and he came into a session and said, I'm an alcoholic. And that was the turnaround for him. See? So nobody told him. He just listened to the stories because the people who speak at those kind of meetings are really insightful, and he understood. So that's what I would suggest you do.
Okay. I'm glad you called. I will send you Walking Into Walls. We also have a tip sheet. They're the 12 steps with the scriptures that are combined with them. We'd love to send you a copy of that if you will call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, the 12 steps for recovery and corresponding scripture verses. Also want to remind you that this Sunday is, of course, the anniversary of the 9/11 attack. And we want to pray for the families that still feel the effects of that tragedy and the soldiers that are in harm's way today because as a result of that tragedy and defending our country and helping other countries to find freedom. And so remember that and be in prayer for those folks this Sunday. I just didn't want you to forget about that. Just want to share a scripture with you, and this is the Apostle Paul talking about this, and it relates to the second step being we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Paul says, they, and that's the people who need God, they know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. You know, it's very rare to see someone that says they are unaware of God. It's within you. The knowledge of God is there, and you've bumped up against enough walls that you've really had to ask yourself, is there something better than this? Is there something greater than me? And you know that there is. And what a wonderful thing to admit that your life is unmanageable, well, that there is a God that wants to help you.
And what's wonderful about that is that it's a power that's greater than me.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, there is help available. I'm powerless but not helpless.
Right. Mm-hmm. Powerless but not helpless. Very important concept. All right. You know, if you would like to help us and support us, we would love for you to. And we have a club, New Life. For as little as $30 a month, you become a member of Club New Life, and we send you a CD every month with a special teaching session that one of the hosts on radio do. We send you a couple of calls that are really meaningful to us. We know not everybody listens all the time. It's an amazing group of people who get discounts, and we gather you together whenever we can We just want you to come and be part of the giving family of New Life, if at all possible. And you do that by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Bill, I was just thinking, before we close this Focus Friday, maybe we could talk about meditation a little bit and the importance toward the end of the steps, where we really are kind of current with our resentments and current with our confessions, but there's more, and we want that constant contact with God.
Well, the 10th step is where you keep in touch with your resentments and your being mad at people on a daily basis, so
yeah.
that you've gone through the first 9 steps and then the 10th step, so that you go into the 11th and 12th steps, you're going into the part of the program where you help other people.
Yeah.
And so to seek through prayer and meditation a new confidence that you have in your relationship with God, and then to go on and pray for the knowledge that you could ask God for the knowledge to how you can help. It's the most important step next to the 3rd step in AA, as far as building yourself up to where you can help other people. Mm. And the 12th step is where you go out, and that's where we all try to get, is where we can be helpful to other people.
Right.
So that's where the 11th step comes in. Now, meditation is something that Dave and I have talked about, and he said something on the program here about meditation and how it affects the mind. And I think that that's an important thing, and maybe he can touch on that.
Well, yeah. It's interesting what the brain scientists have found in terms of meditation. And they all talk about it, and they all say, you know, 5-10 minutes a day is powerful. But what you and I have talked about, Bill, is more of a what's called a discursive meditation, where you focus on something. You can focus on the step. You can focus on the passage of Scripture related to the step, and just allow that to kind of sink in, to ponder it. You know, there's the verse in Psalm 119:11 where it says, "Your word have I hid in my heart that I won't sin against you." And what does it mean to hide it in your heart? Well, it means to take it in. Mary hid things in her heart that the shepherds told her, and she thought about it every
yeah.
day. See, so I take it in, and I think about it, and I ponder it. And that's the kind of meditation that's life-changing. Mm. But you have to do it consistently for it to really go deep inside into the
subconscious. We were talking about anger earlier with somebody that called in. And one of the things about meditation is that you breathe in love and breathe out anger.
Yeah, okay.
Breathe in love and breathe out anger.
That's a great technique, and maybe you were listening today just to hear that you've got a little too little love coming in and too little love, too little anger going out, and maybe that's the reason that God wanted you to listen today. If you're in recovery and you're struggling with addiction, we want to help you. We have a treatment center that can help, and you just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have the Life Recovery Bible. It's a great resource for those in recovery, and maybe it's your call to help others by starting a life recovery group or a life recovery meeting in your church, and you can do that by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE and asking for Ryan. And come on and join us at Club New Life. We just need 4 people a day to join us. Please do be one of those 4. And then a one-time gift makes all the difference in the world to us. And so if God is leading you to support this ministry, please do. We love you, we care about you, and we want you to be part of our giving family. For all of us here, Dave, Bill, myself, Steve Arterburn, I hope you have a great day. And if you have an addiction, I hope you'll do whatever it takes to get it taken care of today. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries,
P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.